So report in Cincinnati about Marquise Flowers pending a physical being traded to the Patriots. Is that accurate?
Yeah, if we have an announcement, we'll make it.
Bill, more or less conversations this time of year than in past with the cut down, just the one cut down?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really track them.
Bill, what's the process like of trying to project, do you project other teams' rosters, kind of follow up the three-man rosters, and kind of work from there?
As far as?
Watching guys who maybe will be cut, and then?
Yeah, it's probably part of it, yeah. I mean, Nick and the personnel staff, do a lot of work on that. I mean, obviously, we're going to have 1,100 players or whatever it is released here in a few days. So a lot of guys to keep track of. That's what they do. They keep track of each team and different situations, different players are in, injuries, how that affects other teams and so forth.
Is that period going to be a little more chaotic this year with so many players hitting, becoming available?
I mean, I don't really think so. I don't think that the players that are released between 90 and 75 are going to have a huge impact on the final rosters. Now, I could be way off on that, but my sense of it is that those players who I think we can identify most of those players on every team. So whether they're released last week or this week or whenever it is, I think that's probably about the same group of players. I don't really see that as a big obstacle, personally.
Bill, you mentioned yesterday on the radio that there are kind of three things going on this week, preparing for the Giants, preparing for the Chiefs, and then kind of overall 16 game. Then you mentioned a lot of situational things you want to work on. This is that what this week is for, working on a lot of the little situational things that might come up once or twice during the season?
That's part of the 16-game preparation, right? I mean, we don't know if they're going to come up opening night or not. Some will, most won't, but we'll always have to be ready for them. So that's part of it. It wouldn't matter who we play opening day. You still have to go over certain, you want to be prepared for those situations. It's not about a specific opponent. Although we'll get to that. Maybe if they run a certain play in a certain situation, obviously we would prepare for that. But just in general, those hundreds of situations that can come up, and rules and so forth. That's part of this week. Mm-hmm.
So how do you, hundreds, thousands of situations, how do you decide which ones to work on, which ones to prioritize?
Well, we cover all the situations and then and some in more detail than others. And, I mean, when you go through each situation, last play of the game, I mean, there could be 20 situations for that one situation. Where's the ball? Kickoff return, scrimmage play backed up, scrimmage play midfield, scrimmage play on the plus 10-yard line. So, there's a lot of situations just on, let's say, on that one play. Just keep going right down the line. So pick out the ones that you think are most important. If you can get to all of them, you get to all of them. If you can't, you get the ones that, cover the most specific situations, the most frequent situations, and then do the best you can on the other ones. I'd say most of the time we can at least watch those plays on film, based on a library. Maybe we don't get to practice every single one of them or get every one of them on the field, but we've at least talked about them, at least gone through the awareness part of what we're trying to do or what the situation really dictates. Regardless of what play we call, at least we understand what the situation is. We need to get out of bounds or we need to stay in bounds or they don't have enough time for two plays, or they do have enough time for two plays, or whatever it is.
Bill, This looks like both players making jumps from year one, year two to year three. I was just wondering where Trey Flowers fits into the equation. What we saw from him last year, was that a result of him making a big jump from year one to year two? Or since he didn't play much in year one, is that just kind of a reflection of who he was?
Yeah, I think that was more year one to year two. I mean, I know he didn't play much as a rookie, but he was in training camp and, you know, there was enough, but he still had a lot of things that he needed to, let's say, fine-tune and adjust to the pro football in our defense, and he did those. Playing inside, that's something he only did, I think, in one game in college against Texas A&M. So that was an adjustment. The coverage is not something he did a lot of at Arkansas. Not that he's a linebacker, but he has some coverage responsibilities at that time, so... things like that, just playing against NFL-style offenses instead of college offenses. But he started to make that transition his rookie year. But I'd say the jump was really from year one to year two.
Yeah. The topic had come up a week ago, maybe with what you as a coach can learn from coaches from other sports, like basketball and hockey. And it was talked about how, like, those are flowing sports, like, we're in transition. Is there, do you see any also, like in basketball, sometimes they say there's, like, positionless team, like, instead of point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center, like, you almost can mix them. Like, do you see any similarity to that in football where, like, instead of the traditional running back, it's almost like a mix of, like, almost he's a receiver, or it's almost like positionless connection.
I think there's a degree of that, sure, with some players. Not all players, but some players. And the more versatile they are, the more things they can do, then the more flexibility that gives you, either to call plays or to defend your opponents. So, I mean, our linebackers are going to have to go out and cover backs, line up in a receiver position. Our backs are going to line up in receiver position, so at some point, they need to know receiver type routes or adjustments from that wide position as opposed to, you know, coming out of the backfield, vice versa for the guys who are covering them and so forth. You know, punt team or kickoff return team, playing outside, playing inside, the leverage on the blocks. And because you could be outside and dropping inside, or you could be inside and blocking a guy on the outside. So, again, just things like that. Yeah, the more flexibility you have, the more depth you have, and the more, I'd say, diverse your scheme can be, because you can do the same thing from different locations.
And this might be a force, just in the thought, but is that something you've looked at or talked about, like, with basketball coaches, like Brad or Tom Crean, or is that?
Probably not so much. Yeah, I'd say the X's and O's are, I don't know, maybe they're the same, but I don't see that as a direct of a crossover on that. I'm sure there probably is one somewhere, but I mean, certainly the picking game and, you know, getting through traffic and all that, like defensive backs and linebackers have to do a bunch of formation. I mean, there's definitely elements to that, but that's like more, I'd say, of a technique, but there's application there.
You said yesterday that in these preseason games, there's not a lot of scheming going on. It's a lot of the basic plays. He also said he watched every game. So what are the things you try to accomplish when you watch these preseason games, and what are you looking for?
To see what other new players are doing in the league. Guys from college that we haven't seen play at this level. So, you know, what do they look like? What were our grades on them? What do they look like in this competition? Just, you know, teams that have new coaches, new coordinators, which are a lot of teams. So how much of it's who, how much of it's the head coach or the coordinator, or however the staff's configured, how they're using different players, or if they're using them differently or using them the way that we're used to seeing them being used, things like that.
And when the regular season comes and everything's kind of ramped up, how radically film study schedule change, they probably aren't able to watch.
Yeah, you know, focused on the team we play and the teams that we cross over with. So the team that, in this case, Kansas City, the teams that they've played, Obviously, we'll see them, but two teams that aren't on our schedule that played each other last week, generally wouldn't be poring over that film unless there was some particular reason. Now, if there are significant plays in the film, that's kind of a different story. That's more gets into the situational football category, but to study the film of two teams we don't play, other priorities.
Bill, I think you mentioned that the staff has been working on Kansas City for quite some time. I wonder when the players actually start, the guys who probably won't play in this game on Thursday, when do they start really getting into Kansas City?
I don't know. I'm sure they've looked at them somewhere along the line. I mean, there's still a lot of question marks, the final roster and so forth. I mean, we're going to go through a whole game plan based on April. But, I mean, they just traded for a player yesterday. So we'll see what his projected role would be and so forth. Things like that, we're not set there, but certainly there's an awareness of, some guys that, they have good edge rushers. I mean, that's no secret. So, that's something that we're going to have to deal with, those three guys. Just to pick an example.
As you pivot towards that regular season preparation, is there still a challenging element to the fundamentals and the things that you may want to hit on early in camp that will creep up that you don't want to lose sight of as it gets closer to the regular season?
Yeah, we never want to lose sight of fundamentals. But it's easy to do because you get caught up in schemes and a bunch of other things. But we're still in the building block stages, fundamentals for each position or double team blocks, combination blocks, things like that, where it's not just you, but you and a teammate working, or you and two other guys working on 3-for-3 or that type of thing. Being on the same, being able to see it the same. Using the complementary techniques and so forth. So, yeah, absolutely. We're definitely not there yet. I mean, hopefully we're gaining ground on it, but we're not there yet. And I'd say as you get into some of the more higher degree of difficulty things, like picking up 3-man games on pass protection, things like that, which, we haven't seen a lot of in training camp or preseason games, but we know they're coming. Those are the kind of things that I'd say are the next stage of, one-on-one pass protection, two-on-two pass protection, three-on-three pass protection. And a team like Kansas City can create that in a lot of different ways. They can be center guard tackle. They can be guard center guard. If you're tight ends in protection, it could be tight end tackle guard, things like that. So it's the degree of difficulty on some of those will pick up a little bit, yeah.
As you've evaluated yourself in years past, from the way I guess you approach that portion of the season, are there things that you've learned that that you'd like to employ yourself that maybe help the team in that aspect? Like maybe you peeled off from one portion of the fundamental too early, or maybe you felt like you hit it later in the season.
Well, I mean, ideally, it's probably like anything else. You want to what you do, you want to get done properly, and then lay the foundation and move on to something else. If you move too quickly to the next step and then your foundation crumbles, then you don't really have anything. So that's really the judgment, is how long do we stay on, on the first phase? When do we go to the second? When are we ready to go to the second phase? And that may vary from player to player, may vary from group to group. May vary from the left side of your line to right side of your line. I mean, there's a lot of variables there. But you have to try to figure that out. And, if you move too quickly, then your fundamentals are just never really in place. If you stay too long, then you can get beat by some schemes because you just haven't worked on them. So there's a balance there. And that's, like I said, it's not the same, for everybody. You move at the pace you can move at. Where the DBs are might be different than where the linebackers are, might be different where the offensive line is, but you still got to make, that's where position coaches and coordinators, make such important decisions just on not little things, but little things of those type of things of when do we go to the next thing, when do we, how much work do we need before we can move ahead, when are we ready to go to the next stage. That's what a good position coach, a good coordinator does. They make a lot of little decisions like that, or we're not going to be able to do this. You know, we've tried it, it's not going well, I just don't think it's, you know, we need to move, try something else or do something else, an alternative way to handle this problem. Or, and that's, you know, those are the kind of things that really make great assistant coaches, because there are 1,000 things like that, and each one of them is a little bit different, and the players are different, and so forth. So those, that teaching and those decisions and the presentation and just kind of, you know, keeping that moving forward, not staying in the same place, but moving forward, been moving forward at the right pace, not just at the pace we did it last year or the pace we did it in 13, or it's doing what's right for this team, for this group of guys, how to get the most out of them. That's really the key. And it's not easy. I mean, that's hard to do. Sometimes you go too fast and you have to back up. Sometimes you go too slow and you're in a catch-up mode and it's hard to catch up. So you want to try to, also on a daily basis, continue to hit those sweet spots, you know, until you get to a certain point, you know, call it halfway through the year where you're, you know, at that point, you know, ship's pretty well underway. You can't go back in port and make any adjustments. You're on the voyage. So, you know, then, but you want to be in good shape when you get to that point.
Final question. In terms of scheme, a macro level, how important is it to evolve over time? And is that something that you can do proactively, or is it more of an organic process in response to things that happen over time, be it personnel or what you're playing or, you know, trends in the league? Is it something you can do with foresight, or is it something that sort of happens to you?
With scheme, I'm not sure if I quite follow you here.
So in terms of projecting what you want to do and maybe a little bit of on a team-building side, saying we would like to do this, so maybe we'll go acquire this player, is that something that you can do? Or is it we have these players and this is sort of the best way to approach with the roster we have?
Well, I think you always have to be ready to go with what you've got. I mean, you can't ever count on you're going to get somebody who's not here, get them off the street or get them from another team and they may not be available. So if that option comes up, then I think you look at the player and say, okay, well, how would we use him? How would he fit in? What would his role be? You know, what's the cost and so forth? And you make that decision on an individual basis based on that player, his situation, and your team needs, whether it be short or long term, whatever you happen to be looking at. I mean, the scheme thing is, I mean, one thing you don't want to do, if you can help it, is to spend a lot of time on a scheme that you don't use. So we're going to spend all our time running this play or this group of plays or these coverages, and then you never use them. So if you, for example, defensively, if you were to put in a certain couple of coverages or a certain type of defense, but you never faced the offense that used it, you know, like a two-back, couple, you know, some two-back defenses, and the teams you play are one-back teams, then, you know, when are you going to use them? I mean, it's a waste of time. On the flip side of it, if you know you're going to use something like, okay, here's our first four opponents, three of them do this, and we would want to do this against three of these four teams, then to not put it in training camp, to not address it in training camp and wait till the first game when it comes up and like, all right, fellas, here's what we're going to do, and now you're kind of starting all over again on this scheme. Like, well, we haven't really done this before, so on this, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and we haven't practiced it. We're putting this in a new thing, and now you're trying to get it ready during the week of practice. I mean, that's a hard thing to do, especially if it's somewhat extensive. You know, if you just don't get enough practice plays, and it comes up in the game a little bit differently than the way you practiced it, and then you get beat, and then, you know, that's usually what's going to happen.
Is it important to evolve with some kind of foresight and say we want to do things maybe a little bit different or show, to find some things maybe you haven't done before? Is that something you can do proactively?
Sure, yeah. But again, you put time into it. I mean, you know, put 3 days into a reverse and run it one time. I mean, it's a lot of time on not very much. Now, if that play wins the game for you, then that, you know, great. But you only have so much time. So how much do you want to put it into, you know, a sliver of what you're going to be using? That's, you know, but that's kind of the trick, is to figure that out. And if you, you know, when you commit to something and then at some later point you decommit to it and you change, then, I mean, that's a lot that's being washed down the drain. If you put in a broad, not, but, you know, if you have a fairly broad package that you know you're going to use all of it at some point, then, and when it comes up, you're not going to be repaving the road. You're going to be saying, okay, well, this is what we did, you know, a couple weeks ago. This is what we did in training camp. Now here's the application for it against this team. Here they do a lot of this. Here's a situation. They use a lot of bunch receivers. Here's our coverage and that, but these bunch sets that we worked on back in training camp. Okay, and now there's some recall. There's some fundamental background that you can fall back on versus having never talked about it and like, all right, well, here's how we're going to handle this week. Well, you know, that's a lot to take on if you haven't taken it on in the first place. So I think fundamentally what you want to try to do is have a system that covers the things that you're going to have to cover and be able to go to the different areas when you need to go to them. If you know that you're going to be heavy in one area, then you're probably going to have to go 60-40 or 65-35 in your time allocation to be able to address it, rather than 35-65 the other way around and spend all your time on something that isn't going to come up, or it isn't going to come up very much. Then, like, yeah, you're great at that, but it only comes up 10% of the time. It's just not worth it. So sometimes you get things that come up that you haven't covered before. You got to cover them. You know, that's football things. That's going to happen. You try to, let's say, keep those to a minimum. And when that does happen, then you just got to be careful about how much you try to do with it. Like, all right, we haven't covered this before, so, you know, trying to do six different things against it, it's probably going to be hard. You're probably going to be limited to one or two. And hope you can do those well. So, but yeah, those are the hard decisions in coaching. Just trying to anticipate what you're going to need, making sure that you have it, and not only have it, but can actually do it. I mean, if you can't execute it, it doesn't make any difference what you have. You got to be able to do it. So that's, you know, and getting to that point, that's the hard part. Okay. All right. Thanks.